Good evening, church. Feels great to be back after a long, long time away from you guys. The 1 week of being back at college, you know, just feels awesome to be back and everything. So today, I'll be talking about the power of prayer. And I want to start by asking you all a simple question. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Not just the idea of saying a few words before a meal or before bed, but in the real, life-changing power of prayer. Too often we treat prayer like a last resort, something we only turn to as a last option. We say, well, all we can do now is pray, as if prayer is our backup plan instead of our first response. But the truth is, prayer is not just a weak or passive action. It is one of the most powerful things we can do. Amen. The Bible tells us in James 5:16 that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means prayer is not just words. It has real impact. It can move mountains, open doors, heal the sick, and bring priests and bring peace in the storm. Tonight, I want us to look over the true power of prayer, how it changes things, how it strengthens our relationship with God, and how we can make our prayer life stronger. Because if we understand the true power of prayer, we will be able to not take it for granted. But before we dive in, I want us to think about this. What would your life look like if you fully trusted in the power of prayer? The Bible is full of examples of how prayer changes situations, even when all hope is lost. One of the most powerful stories of prayer can be found in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 26. Paul and Silas have been beaten and thrown into prison. And these prisons weren't just like the ones that we have today. They didn't have comfy beds I guess prison doesn't really have comfy beds either, but, you know. They were built to execute people. And these prisons were dark and filthy and devoid of hope. Earlier in the chapter, it says that the jailer had put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet with stocks. Now, stocks were these wooden restraints designed to keep prisoners from moving. And I'd like to imagine that most people in that situation would have given up or had lost hope. But you know what they did instead? They prayed and sang hymns to God. And you know what happened? The Bible says that a sudden and great earthquake shook the prison and the doors flew open and their chains were loosened. That is the power of prayer. It has the ability to change circumstances. When we pray, we are not just speaking into the air. We are calling upon the Almighty God, the one who created the universe, the one who holds all the power in his hands. That story of Paul and Silas reminds me of my time at Fort Knox. Some days, it wasn't just training that was tough. It was also the heat. The sun would beat down on us while we spent hours in the fields, marching, carrying heavy gear, and pushing through drills that tested both my mind and body. But at the end of the day, when I felt completely drained and wondered how I made it through this, in those moments, prayer came through my mind. It was my anchor. Even just for those few quiet seconds, when I prayed, God reminded me that I wasn't facing those challenges alone. Prayer gave me the strength to keep moving forward, even when everything felt impossible. It wasn't just about changing situations. It was about finding peace, courage, and trust in God's presence. That experience showed me firsthand that prayer is not passive. It is powerful, personal, and practical. Just like Paul and Silas prayed in prison and saw God's power at work, I learned that prayer can carry us through life's hardest challenges, We're in a prison cell, a classroom, a blazing field in the summer heat. God's strength is available when we reach out for him in prayer. Jesus told us himself in Mark 11:24, "Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." That means that when we pray in faith, we should expect God to move. But we need to understand something. God answers to prayers come in different ways. Sometimes he says yes, and the situation changes. Sometimes he says no, because he knows what's best for us. And sometimes he says wait, because his timing is perfect. Amen. We must trust that God's answer is always best for us. Prayer is not about getting our will done, but aligning ourselves with God's will. But prayer is not just about asking for things. It's about building a relationship with God. Amen. When I taught the teen class over the summer, I studied 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. Unfortunately, I was only able to make it to chapter 7 before my time ended with the youth group here. But one theme really stood out to me while I was reading over 1 Corinthians. It was how much Paul emphasized relying on God, whether it was handling divisions in church, seeking true wisdoms, or making decisions about marriage and singleness. It was a powerful reminder that every part of our life, our struggle, our choices, our relationships should be brought to God. Prayer is just how we do that. Just like Paul guided the Corinthians to stay focused on God's will, prayer keeps us centered and looking to his wisdom instead of our own. Think about it like this. Imagine you had a best friend, a spouse, or someone you really loved, but the only time you talked to them was when you needed something. Is that a true relationship? Of course not. That's like if I went back home from school, drove an hour and a half just to ask my mom for gas money, ask my parents for gas money, or drove home to just get some food out of the fridge, and leaving without saying, "I love you." That doesn't sound like love, does it? Of course not. The same is true with God. He wants us to talk to him regularly, not just when we're in trouble. Jesus sets the perfect example of what it looks like to have a strong prayer life. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, "But Jesus often withdrew to the lonely places and prayed." If Jesus, the Son of God, needs to pray often, how much more do we need to pray? One of our most powerful things about prayer is that it draws us closer to God. When we pray, when we spend time in prayer, we begin to know his heart, his understanding, and his will, and we are able to develop a deeper trust in him. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses your understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." That kind of peace only comes with having a close relationship with them. Now that we've seen how prayer changes things and strengthens our relationship with God, the next question is, how can we grow in prayer life? Many of us desire a connection with God through prayer, but we often struggle with distractions, doubts, or inconsistencies. We all know that feeling, whether it be at work or at school or in the middle of our daily routines, where everything seems to pile up all at once. Maybe you've been working on a big project for weeks or have a list of assignments, responsibilities, or errands coming up. But at the end of the day, you're just completely exhausted. You eat dinner, watch a little bit of TV, scroll on your phone, look at some TikToks or whatever you do. And then it's time for bed. Sometimes life just feels overwhelming. We get caught up in caught up in whatever we have to do, deadlines, responsibilities, and commitments, that we forget to pause and pray, even though that's exactly what we need. And before we know it, the day has passed without us spending a single intentional moment in conversation with God. It's easy to let the busyness of life push prayer to the wall. Push prayer to the bottom of the list. It's not even a big deal. Even in the middle of our chaos, it's what keeps us grounded when it feels overwhelming. And if we truly believe that prayer has power, it should come to us as natural and essential to us as breathing. Amen. Daniel 6:10 tells us that Daniel prayed 3 times a day, even when it was illegal to do so. He didn't treat prayer as an occasional act. He made it part of his daily life, no matter the circumstances. If he wanted to grow in prayer, we must be intentional about setting aside the time to talk with God, not just when we need something, but as part of our everyday routine. Another struggle we often face is feeling like we don't know what to say. But in truth, God isn't looking for the perfectly rehearsed words. He wants our honesty. In Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, Jesus tells us the story of a Pharisee and a tax collector who both prayed. The Pharisee uses fancy words to boast about how righteous he was, while the tax collector simply cried out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus said that it was the tax collector, the one who prayed with humility, was the one God heard. Prayer isn't about impressing God with our words. It's about being real with him. When we pray, we should also pray with expectations, believing that God hears us and trust that he will answer according to his will. Mark 11:24 tells us, "Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." This doesn't mean that God will give us exactly what we want, but it does mean that we should pray with faith, knowing the exact answer, whether it be yes, no, or wait. It's always good for us. Amen. Finally, one of the greatest ways to grow in prayer is not by using God's word as a guide. When we pray, it's to use God's word as a guide. The Bible is full of promises, and when we pray using Scripture, we remind ourselves of the truth. For example, whenever we feel anxious, we can pray the words of Philippians 4:6-7, which tells us not to be anxious, but to bring everything to God in prayer. Whenever we feel weak, we can pray Isaiah 41:10, which reminds us that God is with us and will strengthen us. The more we pray, the more we fill our hearts with Scripture, the stronger our prayer becomes. A stronger prayer life isn't just built overnight, but by committing and spending time with God. Amen. The deeper our faith will grow. If we truly believe that prayer has power to change things, then we must start treating it as a priority and not just an afterthought. So let's go back to the question I asked at the beginning. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Not just the idea of prayer, but in the real power to change things. The power to strengthen your relationship with God, and the power to transform your life. If you truly believe that prayer, in the power of prayer, then I challenge you, make prayer a priority. Don't let it be your last resort. Let it be your first response. James 5:16 reminds us, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means your prayer has power. That means your words are not wasted. That means they reach the ears of a loving and powerful God who desires to hear from you. So as we close tonight, I want to challenge you to make a commitment. What is one thing you will pray about this week consistently and with faith? Maybe it's a situation in your life. Maybe it's someone else. Or maybe it's just asking God help you grow closer to him through prayer. Thank you.